This is Due By Friday, the weekly challenge podcast from Merlin Mann, Alex Cox, and Max Temkin. This week's challenge, take a nap.
Hello.
Hello.
Good afternoon.
Hi, Merlin. Wow, really rude of you to call us back so late.
I'm so sorry. I got really busy with my card game.
Wow. Well, technically, it wasn't. It's not the card game that I work on. It's the Seafall, which is the Euro style oceanic exploration campaign that I'm in the middle of.
Oh, bad on me. Is it like a German board game, Max?
Well, yeah, it is like a German board game, actually. Yes. Yep. What of it?
They call it Board Gum and Scheiße.
So we had the cards retreat last week, and I we'll get further into this when we start talking about napping and stuff. But I'm all fucked up from this retreat because it's like so all the guys come in town and we just like agonize over cards and Cards Against Humanity. We talk about every single card in the game and decide whether it stays or goes. And we're poring over data and writing and just like basically like running ourselves ragged. We work like, you know, I don't know, like 16, 17 hours a day sitting in the same room together for like 10 days until we all go insane. And we came up with this sort of interesting thought experiment I would like to pose to both of you, which is, let's say that there was a party that lasted for 10 days. Would you, and you were attending this party, how long would you last? 24 hours a day partying?
Oh, there are so many factors that, like, this isn't, okay, so are we talking, can you give us some examples? Like, is it a party with like five of your closest friends, or is it like our New Year's Eve party that's like over 100 people?
Yeah,
are there projects? Do you have to like decorate a bear or something?
That's a great question. I haven't stipulated so much in the thought experiment. Let's see. I'm going to say that, so like our New Year's Eve party, it's funny that you hold that up as an example of like a crazy party, because there's like people sitting around playing board games and like there's like craft projects.
Oh, no.
And like
well, that's the thing about our
that's
New
not
Year's
like
Eve
a rage,
party.
It's not like a rager, right?
The reason I bring it up is, am I a
Although
host
it is,
of the party?
It is a rager if you're you, Alex.
Oh, God. I was wondering if that was going to come up.
can I eat this coaster?
Alex was arm wrestling people.
And winning.
It was very strong. It was great.
I don't remember that, actually.
There was a Hamilton rap. You and Mel were doing a Hamilton rap.
Oh,
you love that.
I do. But if I was hosting a party.
You guys familiar with Hamilton? It's a musical.
Is that historical musical, Max, with the rapping?
It is. It's quite popular.
Also, he wrote Bring It On, which nobody remembers or enjoys, which is based on the movie Bring It On. But if I was hosting a party for 10 days, I think I could last, because that's kind of my job in some, when we go to conferences, we sometimes have just like 10-day parties. And, well, okay. Man, now I'm really thinking. So, would you last in your ideal conditions? Would you last?
Well,
let's just
stipulate that it's like it's not a party that's like custom tailored for you to have fun at. It's like a party that you would go to. Like, you know how like in Chicago, there's like New Year's Eve parties that you can like wait in line and you go get into, you pay and you get into.
So, you know what I mean, like a party. No, so yeah. I would last zero minutes. I would go.
You turn around and leave immediately.
Well, I mean, I have a heuristic for this. And that is, like, let's say, I mean, to me, an easy way to kind of shortcut this is to go think about the most fun you've ever had at parties. And, like, who was at those parties? Like, what were you doing? So I can just say, like, if I think about, like, the parties, some parties in college, especially parties after college, like, we used to do a thing where, like, a bunch of friends would get together at my house, actually for New Year's Eve. And it was like a two-day thing. I'm going to say, one question, do I sleep? Or is it a certifiable rage-a-rama 24/7 for 10 days?
Great question. I think if you're going to sleep, okay. Have you guys seen Breaking Bad?
No, what's that?
You know how in the season where Jesse's real sad, he has the party in his apartment that goes for like the entire season, and there's people like live at his apartment, and it's like the music's always playing, and they're always doing meth and dancing and partying, but also people are sleeping. So I think it's that.
I'm going to say if it is a standard government issue party that I'm enjoying like a lot and I'm younger and I have stimulants, I'm going to say 18 hours easy. I think by day three, I'm going to be wilting regardless of how much fun I'm having. Because now I'm thinking about, like, with all due respect, the family things where there's always somebody walking around and doing stuff and getting a water and using the bathroom. And like after 4 days of proximity to lots of people, I get really introverted. So that's, if it's like an ongoing fun rolling Jesse party and I'm hopped up on goofballs, you know, I could have fun for 3 days. But if it's a Rage of Rama straight through, I'm going to say 18 hours. I could not do 10 days. That would be tough. And who'd take care of my kid?
I keep thinking, like, at any party I've ever been at, I've never followed, like, any of the rules because, like, 10 minutes in, I'm in my phone in a corner or with a cat or doing something. So it's real. If we are talking about that Jesse party, I would just take, like, a tiny bit of meth, go into the corner and start reading Moby Dick. And then, you know, 9 days later, I'd probably be fine. But if it's like... you know, like you were saying, Max, you're in just the same room with people. Like, you can sleep and you can eat and pee and whatever, but you just have to be in the same room with the same people. I will not go to that party.
A retreat to me is basically a professional abduction. They try and make it sound fun. You go, oh, it's going to be great. It's going to be a working vacation. And you go and like, and you're just in proximity to these people that like your Ron Swanson's phrase, your workplace proximity companions, you know.
Proximity associates.
That's it. So I mean, work things, and it sounds like you guys get along. But what you're describing, Max, I don't want to change the subject here, but what you're describing sounds exhausting. Like having to think about funny things in that environment, it seems like you would really need breaks. To just be able to just do the de minimis, you know, loveless work of trying to make things funnier.
You'd think that.
Do you guys just, I mean, you seem like a harsh taskmaster, let's be honest. But, like, you just got to grind through it?
Yeah, I mean, this is always how we've worked on the game, is, like, it used to be that we would come home from winter break in college, and we'd, like, be in one of our parents' basements, and we would, and that was the time we had, was between, you know, when we came home and when we went back to school. And that was all we had to work on the game.
And can I ask a follow-up question?
Yes.
When you're thinking, you and your, and I don't know that much about how you guys operate as a company, but when you're figuring out if somebody's going to be a good hire, like are there things that you look for? How do you decide if somebody's right for the team in terms of just how they roll, but also in terms of how they're going to respond to being abducted into a room to be funny for several days?
So,
like, how do you vet them?
So, interesting fact. So, there are no employees at these retreats. This is the 8 original creators of Cards Against Humanity who I've known since kindergarten.
Wow.
Yeah. So there's no employees there. It's all the people who own the company, and we get together about 2 or 3 times a year and like seal ourselves into a room and like eat takeout and fart and write jokes until we go insane. And that's just
Did any of you ever date the same people in the past?
No, actually.
Okay. Well, yeah. That makes it easier.
How is that possible?
Well, you have to keep in mind that none of us dated anyone until we all went to different colleges. Yeah.
We are unlovable dorks.
Yeah. So that, you know, it makes the math a lot easier. But it's not a party. Like, I just want to be clear. Like, it's not a working vacation because there's no vacation aspect of it. It's just a working work. And the most fun we have is, like, we usually try and, like, schedule a couple of, like, fancy dinners. But we're pretty cranky when we go out. But it's, like, at least it's something to, like, get out of the building. Mm. But other than that, it's like, yeah, it's like we work until we're exhausted and then we pass out. We go to people go to their hotel, or in this case, I go to my house and everyone passes out. And then you wake up slightly too early and shower for 5 minutes and run to the office and you're back in it and you start again. And
do you bring bagels?
Yeah, yeah. We have
okay, like, that's nice.
Yeah, yeah. We get all the food is like delivered, so we don't have to worry about it.
Are you listening to music?
Sometimes we listen to a little bit of instrumental music. Sometimes we have to we take like a 20-minute to like quietly go through the spreadsheet and everyone like highlights cards that they want to discuss and we'll listen to some music then. But otherwise it's just like it's just repetitive, just like sitting there having these like sort of circular looping conversations and like I don't know. It's like it's kind of weird. But somehow I'm able to make it through this, but I wouldn't do very well in the week-long party. I think I call my parents to pick me up within like a half hour.
Oh yeah, I'd feign an injury.
What's the longest party you? Quick note. I will say that this year seemed like a very special retreat because there was a baby and there were two air fresheners in that room. It was very exciting for the employees.
The fart suckers.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had two industrial.
Very impressive.
Two industrial fart suckers in the room. It did not hold up to the like Jewish. Smorgasbord, the like deli that we had every day, and then all of our.
Oh, you're gonna get a lot of gout too. This sounds like this is like a known issue. Without saying too much, because obviously y'all are friends and you got to work together. Are you able to track it down to a couple really bad offenders, or are you just gonna assume that everybody farts a little? Is there anybody making a particularly fruity dog fart that you could really identify and kind of track them down, take them aside? You say, let's cut back a little bit on the Brussels sprouts. Let's just drink more water.
Yeah, no, it's all of us. I mean, I contribute to the problem. You know, I'm probably not it's like a lot like global warming. It's like, well, I'm not the worst out there. I mean, I don't own like a coal company, but I'm complicit. I mean, you know.
Yeah, you buy a new Tesla and, you know, all the resources that go into making a Tesla, you know, you better just keep your old gas guzzler. Or in this case, you know, not fart salamis.
Mm-hmm.
That's complicated. Now, what's your answer? What's your answer, Max? You sound like a party animal. You like to get out there with some EDM and dance to some sick beats. What's your estimate?
I don't know how to dance.
Everybody knows how to dance, Max?
Not I. I don't know. I've never been to a dancing party. Or maybe I think I went to like prom, but I didn't really dance.
What was the theme?
I don't think there was a theme.
Really?
Yeah. No, there was.
What about
no theme.
You, Alex? Did you have a theme at your prom?
No. That sounds
Jiminy Christmas.
Super tacky and awful.
Yeah, it was.
What was your theme?
I went to two proms. What's funny?
I hacked
the system
jealous.
A little bit for one prom.
Wait a minute.
You
went to two proms?
Mm-hmm.
How did that come about?
Well, we did a life hack where when my girlfriend and I were juniors, we had two friends who were not. One of whom was a gay man and the other of whom was a girl. And we basically technically went as the dates of the seniors. So there was that prom. The theme of that prom was Faithfully by Journey, which is a song about cheating on people. And then for my official prom when I was a senior, I took a girl that I'd had a crush on since 10th grade. It was really good. The theme for that prom was Careless Whisper by Wham, which is a song about cheating. No Stairway to Heaven. No, you know, Saturday Night is All Right for Fighting. Like, I had voted for I Will Follow by U2, and apparently that got exactly one vote.
I just like how you I expected the story to go like, oh, well, then I ended up having to go. And no, you plotted and willingly went to two proms.
Oh, you millenniums. You're all the same. You're all, I can't go to things. I can't go to things. I wouldn't understand it. I'd have to look at my phone. You go to the prom. You got to go to the prom. You go to the prom. You play sports. You get in the stamp club. You got to do these things.
I went to prom just purely based on how humiliating it would be to have not gone to prom. But it was like,
exactly.
It was basically like, it was one of those things of like, it felt so important. It was like, oh, like I have to go do all this like bullshit, but like
this is why everybody should watch the Netflix program The Crown, because you think, oh, how great must it be to be the Queen of England and the Commonwealth? Like, oh, that's so amazing. You get to do whatever you want. You wave your magic wand. Somebody brings you some cookies. And it's just a life of endless obligation over which you have very little control. You don't get to manage pretty much anything about your life unless you're particularly politic about how you do it. So basically, you just get led around like a Barbie doll. And that's being in high school, I think. A lot of it is it's just like one dumb rote thing you don't want to do after another. And I think you millennials, what I'll give you credit for is you've learned you could say no. We didn't know that you could say no to these things. It's the 15-minute walk run. You got to do a 15-minute walk run. That's required. Now, you guys would just say, I got to look at my phone because I'm an introvert.
That was the year the iPhone came out, and I got an iPhone. So I have all these amazing prom pictures. It was at an aquarium, the Shedd Aquarium in Chicago. It was actually pretty cool.
Your prom was at the Shedd?
Yeah.
That's so cool.
It was very cool. anyway.
My prom was in 1985, so I think I had like a manual for an Atari or something. Phone. Have your own phone in high school. Jesus Christ.
It's a tool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so was I.
man.
Hey, Happy New Year, everybody. How's it going?
Oh, it's a whole new year. Everything is different.
It's so much better. Thank God.
I've made a lot of resolutions and life changes because the calendar changed. And so far, everything's going really well.
Oh, just the 2016. 2016 was out to get us, Max, up until the end. It wasn't done with us yet, the arbitrary period of time that had a malevolent influence over our lives. And now Charles Manson's sick. It's just,
I know, cruelly, he's going to, 2016, still taking people from us.
Taking Charles Manson from us. He's been there my whole life. I'm not saying I love Charles Manson, but he's always been there. And he turned his ex into a swastika, which is pretty brilliant. And now, you know, now he's in Bakersfield, home of so much great country music. It's really sad.
If Morgan Freeman dies, like, this week, I'm still going to blame it on 2016. Like, ooh, 2016 got another one. Mm.
Oh, hug your babies.
So what are your big resolutions that you guys have made? Because, you know, when the calendar year changes, it's a good time to make a lot of dramatic changes. You got to overcorrect for pretty much everything in your life that's happening. What have you guys decided to go with in terms of your big New Year's resolutions?
Alex, I know this is a huge one for you. What have you been thinking about? What do you say to yourself? It's New Year's Eve. I'm wearing a hat. How do I change my life?
Well, I went into the end of 2016 thinking, wow, I've literally had nothing to drink. So at 12:01 on January 1st, 2017, I had a whole lot to drink. And that's how my year started. And I've had fast food 3 times so far in 2017. So it's going pretty well. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. I have a friend actually who joined a gym 3 weeks ago. And she's like, I'm gaming the system. I'm starting my New Year's resolution 3 weeks in advance so I can complain about the people who go to the gym on January 1st and 2nd. I'm like, okay, good job.
Oh, great. All those posers.
Well, my resolutions are, the key is to pick something. You got to think big, and you got to pick something really ambitious so that you're motivated to do it. So I've decided I'm going to lose 150 pounds, and
That's good. That's a nice round number. A sesquicentennial drop.
Well, it's easy to remember. So I'm going to drop 15 stone. I'm going to visit every continent. I'm going to be nicer to all people that I meet.
Oh, that's so nice, Max.
And I'm going to make an extra $1 million in 2017. Those are
that
my goals.
That's so reasonable. Are you going to try eating, praying, or loving, do you think?
Well, the eating is not compatible with my first resolution, so that's out the window. There'll be no eating this year. Purely, it's just...
Are you doing a cleanse?
Well, it's not so much of a cleanse as I only have powders now.
It's a detox.
It's a detox. You get all the toxins out. Merlin, we live in a toxic environment. There's toxins all around us. They get in. Now,
you would think that your liver, your kidneys, and your skin would do enough, but no.
No, no.
You need some teas. You need some kind of, like a lemon powder would be nice. Don't do actual lemons, even organic lemons. You don't want that. You want a lemon powder that's a homeopathic lemon that's been distilled down to its primary citrus components. You get that and you mix it into a rudimentary paste. You put that in your ass with your douche, and then you just sit there. You sit there and think about what you've done. You could do some yoga.
Well, Merlin, I'm really glad you brought this up because I'd like to tell you about our first sponsor this week, which is Crystal Nootropics. These are mind crystals. They make you so smart that you don't need to sleep anymore. It's like doing 1,000 Sudokus. You just you grind these crystals up and you eat them, and you
can buy
them.
That's how you know it's working.
Well, that's their guarantee. They have a 100-day. Your first 100 nights are free, and you can return the crystals if you're not happy.
You pick it up in a box. You carry it up by yourself. And if for some reason you're not happy after 100 days, they take it away for you.
That's exactly right. And, of course, you can buy these at MerlinManSupplements.com.
I got to tell you, if you want to really get ripped, you're going to need to get in there, really. Yeah.
Thanks to our sponsor, Merlin's Man's Supplements.
This is from 2003 from my website Fives, 5 resolutions for the new year. Stop apologizing for drinking at work. Undertake some kind of faith-based initiative. Start carrying a yoga mat everywhere. Spearhead a trucker cap buyback initiative. And you guys will appreciate, number five, begin more publicly referring to myself in the third person as daddy.
Wow, that is really problematic now. I mean, you could...
Daddy has resolutions.
That's really showing its age, that fives. Alex, do you have
Watch
any...
Dawson's Creek.
Do you have any resolution? No, I'll tell you. Okay, well, Alex, you tell us your resolutions first, and then I'll give... I have some further updates for you.
Maybe I won't tweet about my iPhone as much.
Aw.
I don't know. Yeah. Let's go with that.
Well, so in all seriousness, I actually did install an app on my phone, a resolution-related app on my phone, which is I installed the app called Streaks. Are you guys familiar with this?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So I installed Streaks. Streaks is like you can like set little goals for yourself, and basically you build a streak. So it's a thing you want to do every day. And
like six Sundays in a row, I didn't masturbate in church.
Exactly. And then you hold it. Yeah, once you get through a whole church service, you don't jack it, and you hold down the circle, and it goes ping, and then you've got a streak. And what's cool is it works on the Apple Watch, which I like, and it'll actually tap your wrist at a certain... You can tell it, like, hey, if I didn't do my thing, start tapping my wrist at this time, and remind me to do it. And the idea is that, you know, it's like, I think it's like a Steve Jobs thing of like, what is that thing where you like put the X's? Oh, it's a Jerry Seinfeld thing. You like put the X's on the calendar.
Commonly mixed up.
I don't know. It's some overrated, mediocre white dude who's like...
What's the deal with chamfered edges? Who's coming up with this stuff?
It's some like lovable asshole who has like this impossible productivity tip that everyone loves that doesn't really help you with anything. But the idea is like you work on your new material every day, and you put the X on your calendar, and then you just all your... at some point your only goal becomes don't let today be the day where you don't put an X on your calendar.
Oh, I get it. Yeah, I was trying to use streaks to quit doing things, and that's much less satisfying. You know what I mean? Like, it's one thing to go like I'm going to, like, what? So you got those dingling resolutions like I'm going to eat celery every day or drink water this many times. That's much more satisfying. Doing something and checking it is super satisfying. But sitting there nervously throughout the day and praying that midnight comes before you haven't done the thing you're not supposed to do is like, it's harrowing.
What? Were you trying to get off meth or what were you trying to do?
I'm not going to tell you.
We talk about meth too much.
Wow.
Okay. I would love some meth, you guys. I would love it so much. I mean, I'm on the Claritin train already, toot toot. But like, man, I could. Daddy could use a little kicker. I got to get back on the Adderall. I miss it. Oh, I was like a great glistening beam. I could do anything. I was invincible.
Well, so I'll over the cards retreat. You know, here's my thing is like here's my actual goal for installing streaks is I want to try to remember to meditate every day. I just want to try and make 10 minutes minimum to just sit and quietly and meditate. It seems like it should be like pretty trivial to squeeze that into your day, but actually like life kind of gets in the way and you wind up like running from thing to thing, and it's a lot of days it's hard to do. You have to actually like make and have some intentionality and like plan it out. And like great example is when we do these writers retreats, like I literally just don't have 10 minutes in the morning. Like I want to sleep as much as I can and then I have to go right in. So it's like if I want to meditate, I have to wake up 10 minutes early to do it. Anyway, so I was like, I'm gonna make a streak and that will motivate me to keep meditating. And I built up a streak of 2 days, and then I was like, fuck this app. This is too hard to – how dare this app like start tapping my wrist and bothering me to meditate?
I know. I still at 8:42 every morning, I get a reminder from Headspace. It's like, you know, hey, time to get some Headspace. You know, and it's like, click. And it's just – it's so – again, it's the same principle as like why we rail against resolutions, where it's like, well, time for me to suck again. Ping. And it's the worst. But, you know, on one life hack, I do think this is true. I found this to be true with work things. And again, it's another one of my obvious observations. But if there's something you want to do and you can do it in the morning, like that, yeah, I think you have such a better chance of success. I guess that differs from person to person, except in as much as, like, if you can get up just a little bit earlier and do the thing, if that thing's writing 500 words or that thing is, like, taking a walk, I think the morning is the best time to do that. I think in some ways that is I feel like that's a habit that has positive knock-on effects in a way that an afternoon or a night habit might not. Do you know what I mean? It's like, I know if like, for me with writing in the past, if I haven't written anything by 10 a.m., it's very unlikely I'm going to write something the rest of the day, even though I act like I will, right? Like any like decent writing I've done is usually before like 11 and often before 8. So, like, you know, I think you have to figure out if there's something you are trying to do, like, you have to slot it in a place and, like, make yourself do it for 3 days and then don't give yourself any breaks on it. But you know what I mean? Like, if it's something where you're like, well, remember to do this thing before bed, I think that's harder. That makes me anxious.
There's some sort of I'm imagining it as like an armadillo up on the roof rolling around. It's like turned itself into a ball form and it's angrily rolling around like a boss in Mario. And it's like it sounds with the headphones on, it sounds like a bong. Doesn't it sound kind of like a bong?
Can you hear the armadillo, Merlin?
Oh, now I hear it, yeah.
Okay, so just now you started hearing the armadillo. All right.
It's so loud. It's just there's some sort of something clattering around in the roof. What does it sound like? It sounds like...
It sounds like there's just someone keeps dumping a bowl of marbles.
Yes, it sounds like children are marble racing on the roof. I think that's what's... I think we have some sort of chimney sweeps up there.
It could be Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Some sort of lovable orphans have snuck up onto our roof and they're racing their goddamn marbles.
An armadillo is balled up, called up, running marble races, looking on all the cards against faces. Rap, 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 a rap, a rap.
To your credit, that was actually better than Hamilton.
Aw, thanks. You're so sweet. I'm gonna teach you how to say goodbye. You're gonna love it. You're gonna feel so bad. You're gonna get so into it. You're gonna be all like, "Why was I like that? Why was I such a sad tomato about this?"
Actually, Merlin, that's where you're wrong, because I'm not allowed to like it anymore because I've entrenched so firmly in my position. So I'm not allowed to change my mind. So,
boy, you know, goes I love to show your other you. Program. I love your other program for so many reasons, but like one of the reasons I love your other program is that Pat is still just slipping that little knife in from time to time. It's so great. You get it from so many. You're surrounded by people who are in the like 5% of Hamilton super fans, and you just can't get away from it, and it's so fucking funny to me.
Well, I've made some big updates on my iPad since the last episode. I have a little bit of follow up to talk about.
Were
on
you
the
aware
iPad.
That some of the people play two different characters. That's an important part of it. Like where they play, you get Lafayette is in Act One, and then the same fella he plays Thomas Jefferson in the second act. And then there's little twists on like for example, you take My Shot. My Shot. You got to really think about this because My Shot means at least three different things. Do you want me to explain it?
Wait. Are there going to be guns?
Oh, there's guns and ships. We rendezvous with Rochambeau, consolidate our gifts.
Hercules Mulligan!
One thing I've done is I've installed Spark across all of my devices. So I have.
We should talk about this because you got me to get on airmail. So, yes, I love this thread. I want to talk about this.
Okay. I'm aware of how boring this is for everyone but us, but what are we going to not talk about Mac applications? So I'm feeling a little bit down on the Apple ecosystem lately. Like
I think you're pretty much alone on that. Matt.
Yeah,
so.
I know.
This does not seem to be a trend.
I have a brave bold opinion that I think things are not feeling. I feel like I'm not on as firm ground as I was maybe like 6 years ago. But it's still very firmly like the best thing out there. Like a bunch of the cards guys now got to Google Pixel phones, and I played a lot with their Google Pixels because that's like supposed to be the leading phone. That's not an iPhone. I played with it for 45 seconds and I was like, this is shit. It like feels bad in your hand. The screen's not responsive. It like looks ugly. Like the apps don't work. Like it just sucks. Like it's so much. It's like everything that's like lightly driving me insane about a Mac and iOS right now are like a billion times worse on every other platform. So, what am I going to do? I'm going to stick with it. But anyway, I've got Spark going, and Spark, I can report. I used this when it was in beta and I had some sort of, I don't know, I had some sort of frustration with it or whatever, but
I like the Rito guys, I like Dennis, but like it had tons of weird bugs that were there forever, and one that was, I mean, just not to interrupt you, but one that was super frustrating as somebody who was using Spark exclusively on iOS was it wouldn't do quoting right. Like, I'm a quoter. Like, I'm old school. I mean, I'm a top guy, not a bottom guy. I'm no John Gruber. But, like, I like to select something, hit reply, and then be able to have that be, like, you know, you can – it's so important to me to be able to, like, interleave or whatever the word is, my response. And, like, it would just shit the bed every time you try to do that. Plus, they got the whole weird server thing that I'm still not totally comfortable with. But what was it doing for you?
Oh, I don't even. I honestly don't remember. I just remember I downloaded – everyone was really excited about it, and I downloaded it, and I was like, this is, like, not – Whatever it solves with the mail.app, like the default application, it's like it introduces new problems. So it wasn't really, you know, it was all the same to me to just stay on mail.app. But anyway, I'm back on Spark, and they've ironed out all of the issues, I think. I'm really enjoying it. The only thing that really my only complaint, and I don't. This isn't really an issue with Spark. I think it's just sort of an ecosystem problem. Is it takes a long time to download the mail. So, like, what happens is I open up my mail application, I can see that I have, you know, whatever, 20 new messages. I click on a message and it goes like downloading the rest of this message. And like, really, how big is an email? It's like 50K or something. Why?
Is this a non iCloud account? Because that's part of the problem is like, I mean,
what does that mean?
I think I have all of my levers set correctly and I still don't get push email with Gmail. And so I open up any of these apps and I do that thing, what's Linda Stone calls email apnea, where like I go, fuck, because I always have an empty inbox because I'm that guy. I'm literally, and then I go, I inhale, and I wait for the spinner to start spinning, and then it starts bloop, 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 dropping them into the inbox. Like, it's not doing it in the background for me.
No, just a little panic attack that you can watch unfold in real time.
Nice thing to have six times a day.
Yeah, so no, I definitely get, I'm only on Gmail, so I definitely get that. And the Gmail app I think the Gmail app is actually pretty quick, but it's, like, bad to use because it's a web view. So I don't know, man. I mean, there's not a perfect solution. I mean, email.
Did you try Airmail? Am I thinking of the wrong show? Did we talk about Airmail?
I'll try.
You talked about it on your other program,
well,
Back to Work.
So I don't know. You tell me. I mean, if you're on Airmail, tell me, you got to lead with the F's and B's here, Merlin.
Okay. All right. I'll give you the F's and B's. Well, and I want to hear why Alex is making a noise. But the funny part is there is one just horrible, upsetting reason why I still use Spark, and I'm so ashamed. But Airmail has integrations out the wazoo. So and it has a desktop app that's pretty good. But, it makes it really easy. Like, I was just getting it set up on the desktop this morning since it's kind of become my go-to in the last few days. And you can do stuff like, say, like, send this to OmniFocus, and you don't need the Clipatron to do that. You can say, send this to Reminders, which I love. It's got all these integrations. Send this file to Dropbox. It's just made out of integrations and settings. And if you're the kind of person that likes a lot of settings, which I am, Airmail is really, really great for that. But it doesn't do one thing that Spark does, which is you touch the little thing at the bottom of the screen, and you slide, and every email gets snoozed. And I still have to go in once a day and say, I'm a bad person, and I don't want to see this mail till 10:42 tomorrow when I do the same thing again.
Ooh, I have so many.
But Airmail's good.
I have so many questions about this. Number one: let me ask you this question about the desktop. So I'm a Gmail in the browser email user, and I've
me
just
too.
Stubbornly mm-hmm. stuck with that since Gmail was announced.
It's great, and it's got the key commands.
Fuck,
like, those
man,
key
those
commands
key
are
commands.
Gold.
JX, 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 E, clear them all. Boom.
Oh, left bracket.
Yeah. Just pow, pow, pow. I mean, I don't even have to look at the keyboard. I don't have to touch. Here's a great one. I don't have to touch the mouse. Like,
IE. Like, make them all go away. Get out of here.
It's Gmail. Gmail is awesome. I know all my labels. Like, I have such, like, muscle memory. Like, I mean, it's probably my, I mean, if I'm being honest with myself, it's probably my most used, like, technology. Like, I spend most of my day just in Gmail, like, reading and writing emails. And I'm really good at it. Like, I feel like we may be, Gmail, they introduced this, what do they call it, inbox or?
Yeah, their iOS app inbox.
Right, and you can do inbox on the desktop, and, like, inbox has a lot going for it. Like, I like a lot of what they're doing with it, and it has lots of cool features and stuff, but it's not for me. It doesn't, basically anything that's not Gmail as exactly how it is right now in the browser is not for me. Like, that's my thing, and I like it. And I do get a little scared. I'm like, man, like, Google could just, like, this could just go away. And, like, I'd be so fucked.
They could Google Reader this.
Yes.
And I'm still sad about Google Reader to this day.
Let me ask you my other question. So
and I have a follow-up answer to you about,
please,
about why. But it can come later. But
please,
no,
proceed. Please, proceed, Governor.
Well, okay, so my thing is, like, I do use the snooze stuff because I'm a terrible person and don't follow my own advice. But, I'm usually pretty good about getting all the way, clear at a certain point. But my problem is that I'm with you. I think Gmail, if you're on a desktop, Gmail in a web browser, if you don't think that's the best email app, you're probably not a power user. Like, what you can do so quickly with so many emails. The idea of having to, like, sit in mail.app and hit multiple things to, like, make that thing go away is bananas to me.
And I'm clicking, I'm dragging,
it's
I'm gonna
so much
click
clicky
the
dragging
send
with
button.
Gmail, you just it's all meta keyless letters. It's not even a key command. And you hit a letter, you hit LW, and that labels this as work or whatever. So I still find that my favorite desktop experience. My problem is when I have, like, unto a ding-a-ling snooze stuff and it pops up in Gmail for the web, I'm not using any plugins right now that would accommodate that. So I have to go on my phone and re-snooze it because I'm a bad person. But like, I got AirMail up. It's working. I've got it. It's good. It's really good. It's not as killer on the desktop as it is on iOS. But no, I see myself going straight back to Gmail and the web pretty soon.
Merlin, you mentioned me in your reply, so that gives me 90 seconds to respond.
Yes, you there.
So here's the thing. I've been through, back when there was the email app that we all loved that I can't remember the name of, the Dropbox thing.
Mailbox.
I really tried to get into the snooze lifestyle because Mailbox really pioneered, as far as that was the first time I ever saw like snoozing as a feature of emails, right? Like, hey, bug me about this like later in the day or you know, over the weekend. You could be like, tell me about this on Monday morning or whatever. And ultimately, I was not able to embrace the snooze lifestyle because I feel like, you know, here's my thing about email, Merlin. I feel like you want to open every message once and act on it.
Okay, so when you get the email, you only touch it once.
That's correct. Because then you're sort of going, you know, every time you open an email, there's the cognitive switching task of like, you have to like understand the whole context of the email and all the people, the dependencies and the people working on it and the project. And it's like, I don't want to open an email and do all of this like sort of mental work to be like, where is this project? Up, this person. And all right, now I remember this. Okay. And I'm going to open OmniFocus.
Would you say it's a little bit like
in.
Alphabetizing your recycling?
I would say that. It is a lot like alphabetizing your recycling. So my goal.
That's a really good point.
Thank you. So my goal is I want to get every email. I want to read it once and I want to take an action that's decisive. And being like, I don't want to look at this anymore. I'm going to push the action back later. Well, now I just have to go through the cognitive switching task again and it's going to be painful again. So I would rather just archive it. Honestly, I do this a lot. Merlin, here's a life hack. Do you know you don't have to reply to every email? You just hit E, you archive it.
But what, like somebody spent the time to contact you and like they're like expecting like a response.
Sometimes the kindest thing is to just say nothing. Like if someone asks me for something and I know that I'm not going to do it, a lot of times I just hit E and I'm like, I don't want to like get into a back and forth about why I'm going to decline this. I just hit E and don't do it.
Well, like what if I have like a shit ton of email that like I haven't responded to in like 3 years? I mean, I got to respond to that, right?
Well, Merlin, I'd like to tell you about a little something I invented called Inbox Zero.
Okay. Is that that thing where I spend all day on my email?
Yes. Yeah. Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing. You get the merit badge. Did you know there's
every
an inbox?
Every single app I use, once I have cleaned out my inbox, I see the icon for my user account and the word inbox zero.
Oh, Christ. It would be like if every time in my life I looked at my like romantic partner, there was like she had like a Cards Against Humanity tattoo on her forehead or something. I'm kind of making fun of you here, but like honestly, like, how do you reconcile this? Because like, do you still feel like that's?
I don't. I can't. That's I contain multitudes. I'm like a rapping poet.
Leaving aside the inbox zero thing, just the general principle of like, don't do each email twice, which seems like a very sound principle to me.
Well, okay. Well, there's two because it's always two things with me. Here's the thing is that first of all, that is a best practice. I do a lot of the things that I have counseled other people about, which is that like every time I open my email app, I don't want to see emails in there that I haven't I want it to only be things that I haven't read or things I might want to do something about. So if there's something I'm real good at archiving, believe me, I got a good archive finger, like I'm really good at that. And of course, as you know, Gmail on the web makes that very easy. So I mean, the thing is, I do mostly practice what I have previously preached. Part two that's difficult is on the internet, you're never supposed to be contradictory. You're never like, the thing is, there's no bigger crime on the internet than perceived hypocrisy. And I used to struggle with that. And I guess I still struggle with it just a tiny bit, but mostly like once you've decided not to be bothered by hypocrisy, your life gets so much better. And it makes everybody else's life so much worse because they're so confused. You've just been proven guilty of the worst crime on the internet, which is seeming to do something contradictory. And not to be a Walt Whitman at this point, although he's a fantastic rapper. But the truth is, like, that doesn't bother me like it used to. And I go, you know what? I'm an irrational person that does dumb things. And I've got an email right now from one of my roommates in just after college that I do intend to respond to, but that's not going to be today. And like, it's not killing me to see it every day, but I'm just not ready to respond to it yet. And is that wrong? Yeah, that's kind of stupid. But like, the truth is, like, it's not a best practice. I don't have, you know, when I was in military school, there was three responses to any question, which is yes, sir, no, sir, and no excuse, sir. And I'm going to give myself a no excuse, sir, here. There's no excuse for me doing it that way, but that's how I've done it. I'm mostly good about it, but sometimes I'm not. And I still have to go on and have a life, even on the days when I don't always follow my own rules. And like, that's a pretty good way to be 50. Now, Alex, you're not talking. We're going to get chided. tell me why you don't like airmail.
You know what I love is that nobody gets mad at the two of you for not letting me talk. I get private messages about how I should talk more. I cut that out. But really, though, there's this like one angry lady who's like,
Merlin, can I tell you about something I like? This week, our sponsor is Fracture. They they send you photos on postcards or some bullshit? I don't know. I can't remember.
Oh, man, women are so irrational, am I right?
I am very upset that you guys get all the silver underwear, and not. I understand why.
My silver underwear just arrived yesterday. My daughter was wearing it on her head. She said she's an underpants nun.
Yeah, I want bacteria-free silver underwear. No, just got to.
Yeah, well, when you're sacking up like a man, you're going to be guaranteed that you're going to need some silver to whisk away up to 18 hours worth of stink from your crotch area. Move it out. Get that taint and scoot it aside, because here comes silver. Old AG, we call it.
This all needs to go. Okay, for the five people who don't listen to Merlin, they don't know who Merlin Mann was. Max sounds is just so confusing. And then people yell at me about the edit, and oh, man.
Who yells at you about the edit?
Don't edit. Stop editing the show.
Wait, no, that's ridiculous. Who yells at you about
ridiculous.
Who yells at you about the edit?
Well, first of all of the voices in my head. Second of all,
hello. Are you sure you want to leave that part in? Are you sure you want to take it out? Shouldn't you feel bad about the thing you're doing and not doing? I hope you're up at night because you're not a good person.
Alex, the little chimney sweeps on the roof, they don't really get a lot of say in how we edit the podcast. They're up there smoking their bong.
Alex, tell me about email apps. What's your feeling on email apps?
I don't know.
If there's someone online who's yelling.
I've been looking at pictures of iPhone 7 Pluses for the past 15 minutes.
Are you still haven't bought one?
No.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
You're wondering why I went when Max is like, I'll try airmail. It's because Max likes to keep things in, like, Max likes to keep his most of his Apple stuff like in stock condition as much as possible until it slowly degrades and becomes as Max as possible. But I don't think that you're gonna like airmail because you're going to play with it for a while, but when then it's going to stop making you happy, and you're just going to go open your email on the desktop again. Because Sparks it is fun because you get to like swipe and make stuff go away, and AirMail is like almost the exact it's the exact same thing that you would want from Spark, except you can customize it out your ass, which like what do you want to change in Spark? Like, I don't know.
Right. So like in Spark, one thing that is cool in both these apps is Spark is definitely, and I mean this as a compliment, is a simpler app. But just the accommodation of saying, hey, look, you know, here are the things. There's a nice, real simple screen in the settings where you say, like, you know, in your head, when you slide your finger this way, what should happen? And it lets you control that. Like a little swipe means this. A long swipe means this. And then that gets really blown out with I mean, it's almost like you remember when you got your first digital watch where you've got this one button for controlling all these different things and there's all these modalities. There's a lot of modality stuff in what's it called? Airmail? Like, I mean, I don't even know if I'm going to use all this stuff, but I think you'll be fine with Spark. But mail.app, man, ugh, or mail.whatever, yuck. Bleh. I hate it when it even opens. It's like my new Microsoft Word. It's like, don't even launch. I wish I could just delete it from everything.
I agree. I don't understand who uses mail.app other than Apple employees.
I had a point of procedure. I had some more iOS stuff before we move on
to
the sleep things.
I also want to tell you about my dream about Steve Jobs I had last night.
Okay. I'll go through this pretty quickly. So we covered Spark and Streaks. We want an upgradey. That's a big accomplishment for us.
We won the prestigious Upgrady Award. Every year. You explain this, Alex. We never let Alex talk. Can I tell you about Fracture? You guys know Fracture. It's the photos with the silver threads in the taint. La la la. What are we talking about? I haven't eaten.
Yeah, you don't eat, though. You just let that Claritin go to work.
Yeah. Well, I have two different kinds of medications you're supposed to do on an empty stomach. My mood, my herbal mood stabilizer, you're also supposed to have on an empty stomach.
Is that...
Wait, real, like, medication you're supposed to have on an empty stomach?
Yeah, this my son Theanine works better if you have it with a cup of coffee and no food. Hey, you guys, I don't know if you heard, we won a prestigious Upgrady.
Did anyone listen to the episode?
Yes.
I listened to every episode. God damn,
I really,
Max.
No, I do. I really like Upgrade. And I voted, I didn't really, I think we were added like really late in the game because I remember voting and I did not vote for our show. Or maybe.
Wow, actually. Thanks, Alex.
we got and it's fun. It's like you know, Jason also does these drafts a lot on Incomparable, which I love. I love the drafts where you go around in a circle and you pick your favorite of something. And if somebody else picked it, you don't get to pick it. I love the discussions about how and why people choose the things that they choose. That's my favorite part of these kinds of things. And in this case, for each one of these, they go back and forth and decide who should win based on like the case that the other person makes. And both of them like this. I think they almost gave it to this other show that's probably better than ours. But yeah, in the end, they said, yeah, best new podcast is Max Temkin's program Due by Friday.
Thank you. That's an honor for me to win that award. Why? What did they say? Specifically, what did they like about it?
Mainly, they like Alex.
Good.
When we let her talk.
Yeah, they couldn't
give
it to
Mike. Let me tell you about our sponsor, AdamandEve.com.
AdamandEve.com.
Wait, what? Is that a thing? Was that a gay joke? I don't know what's happening. Oh, what is this? Oh, it's porn. Okay, never mind.
Adam and Eve. Oh, I see. They make vibrators.
You guys don't listen to any podcast sponsored by AdamandEve.com?
No.
No.
What?
No.
They sponsor like half the podcasts I listen to.
Is it like a hair wolf thing? What's that one?
Yeah,
with all the,
yeah.
Fake comedy
they do the comedy podcasts. Oh,
don't listen to comedy podcasts.
Sorry, let me, Alex, say something else so I can interrupt you with a stamps.com joke. Are all these trips to the post office killing you? You know how everyone goes to the post office all the time? If you sign up today with stamps.com and spend more than $100, they'll give you a free drug scale.
Oh.
You please remember to use the offer code Hamilton.
Trunk Club.
Can I tell you about my trunk? Ow, fuck! I just pinched my hand in the microphone. Can I tell you about my experience with Trunk Club?
You already did.
I did.
You did.
Did I tell you the story?
But you explained this is why you and Alex dress the same.
Yeah.
You explained.
Yeah. Oh my God, Merlin! He got a Tom Bin bag and Clark
Desert.
Oh nice!
Boots. What'd you get? I got a brain bag. What did you get?
Well, no, I have like a lady. I use the Tom Bin white tech boy, whatever that backpack is that everybody has.
Is it the one? Don't they have one called the Founder?
The
Founder's bag.
Like the white tech boy. Yes, there is a laptop in here. Yes, I am carrying a yoga mat.
Oh, the I have the Synapse 20. No. Yes, I have the Synapse 25, and then Max got the Synapse 19, which is like the little girl backpack.
These are so little. They're so teeny.
They are. They're so small. And my, I don't know how you fit stuff in there.
Look at my brain bag. My brain bag is huge compared to that. I got a big boy bag.
Now I'm looking at backpacks. You know, I really think in 2017.
But the thing is, they're expensive, but they're so worth it.
You
cannot kill these things.
I've got the very garish checkered one. That when all of the other white nerdy boys Tom Bin bags are piled on top of each other, I can see it because it's all stripey. All right.
I like these external pockets. Wow. This looks, it's got lots of, I'm envious. This is nice.
Yeah.
That's a nice
there's
bag.
There's that front pocket that would probably fit an iPhone 7 Plus in there, really.
Oh, why are you waiting? I don't understand this. What are you gaining by not getting this? You need this. It's for your work.
Attention on Twitter. I don't know.
Challenge. Okay, it's been a while. It's been a couple weeks. We were away for the holidays, and my challenge to you all was to take two on-purpose naps over our interregnum bye weeks. So over the next 2 weeks, the idea was you have to take two naps on purpose, and then we would talk about how that went. And I realized fairly quickly this is actually probably a horrible, it seems like a good time of year for this challenge, but it's in actuality, for all kinds of realistic reasons, probably a terrible time for this challenge. But I still want to hear how it went.
Oh, all right, Max, you want to go first?
Well, I just straight up didn't do this challenge, so.
Okay.
So I'm happy.
Did you try? The thing is, I was explaining this to my daughter last night because she loves when I explain things to her.
Yeah.
I said, this is, and I know Alex disagrees. I think the point of this show is to have the challenge, mm-hmm. have it hanging over your head mm-hmm. for much of your life, mm-hmm. adding unnecessary stress. Mm-hmm. And then if you didn't do the challenge, you talk about why you didn't do the challenge. What was difficult about it? Was it scheduling? Was it a lack of flat surfaces? What? And I think that's part of the challenge. If you didn't do it, tell us why.
Well, Merlin, as you know, it's not so much that I'm busy as I'm highly time constrained.
What's the distinction?
I don't know. I heard it on a podcast.
Isn't that the same thing?
No, it sounds cooler when you say time constrained. So, I didn't have a lot of time. I don't have time during the day to nap. So here's what I just really had one attempt at this challenge, which was, there was a day where, the week before the cards retreat, so the first week where we were off, it was around like 4:30, and I sort of finished everything that was like urgent, and I was waiting for, Veronica was coming home from work at like 6, and I wound up with like an hour free, and I just sort of put on my headphones and lied down in a couch in a dark room in the office and just sort of chilled out, and I was like, maybe a nap will happen, and it didn't, but I enjoyed sort of lying there for like an hour.
And so I think we kind of covered this before, but it makes sense to, excuse me, Ivan! It makes sense to recover this here. I get the sense that y'all are not nap people. You're not super into sleep as a thing. And you have not historically been people who make the time to take a nap. And if you have, you probably didn't even mean to. Is that accurate?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm extremely not a nap guy. I mean, I couldn't tell you.
Does it make you anxious?
A little. When I wake up, I feel a little bit anxious. I feel like something mm-hmm. is wrong, like when I wake up from a nap. So I just don't really take them. But I do. Sleep is very important to me. I mean, I get 8 hours every night. I mean,
wow.
I really am very.
What?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
I'm like, but also, I'll say, like, I'm incredible at going to sleep. Like, I pretty much can just lie down and close my eyes and fall asleep no matter what's going on. And a lot of it is, like, I have, like, some smart things of, like, I like, keep myself busy until I'm sleepy. And then once I get sleepy, I stop doing things and I lie down and go to sleep.
That is so sensible.
It sounds obvious, but a lot of people don't do that.
Totally agree. Now, what about you, Alex? How did you, I'm guessing it went really well. You're around some racist relatives, plenty of opportunities.
Yeah, I don't ever think, I don't think I've ever taken an intentional nap unless I've been sick, which admittedly happens a lot.
Even when you're like working really hard and stressed out, like at events, like you don't go and steal like an hour to go catch up.
That's the worst. Sleep? So we always try to do that. And like, there's always like a nap room that nobody naps in because we're all too stressed out. Because if we fall asleep and like, we don't hear our phone and someone calls us, then something terrible has happened. And it, in fact, especially at conferences and events, I always wake up at 5 a.m. without an alarm because my body has just trained me to assume that a catastrophe will happen at 6 a.m. So I just wake up.
Oh, God, that's awful.
Sufficient. I did genuinely try to nap 4 times, and each time I would lay down and think, like, okay, it's the middle of a weekday, like, and while I am on vacation, like, something bad could happen. And also, it's like, it just adds a weird, I don't know, like, if I did one time over the holidays unintentionally fall asleep in the middle of the day, just, like, from exhaustion. Like, I fell asleep watching House MD. What a show.
In the middle of the day?
Yeah.
Ooh, which episode? I love House.
It's the lupus episode?
It's
never lupus.
Is it twins? It's never twins.
It was in the final season after Cuddy leaves, and it kind of gets boring. And
yeah.
Yeah. However, that season is the Neti Pot brain amoeba episode, so it's, there's a standout. Have you seen that, Merlin?
No, I haven't seen that one.
They think that the guy has gotten some bacteria from his sex doll, but it turns out his neti pot gave him a weird water brain amoeba.
Everybody lies.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, if they had just talked to Max about this, Max would be the first one to tell you, watch out for the amoebas because they're going to fuck you.
Mm-hmm.
Did you guys know that you can get a brain amoeba if you use an unfiltered water in your neti pot?
Mm.
In your neti pot, and that gets right in your brain, the amoeba.
Mm, it's never the sex doll.
I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you for trying. I knew going into this that this is not something that was going to come easily, naturally, or funly to you, you guys. So I'm glad you tried. And there's not even like an appeal for you guys,
no.
Right? I mean, like, whereas me, I'm always like, God, I would love, like, my grandparents. I would go visit my grandparents. They would take a nap every single day. And today, I'm like, if I could sleep for like 30 to 120 minutes every afternoon, my quality of life would be so much better.
Really? Like,
oh, absolutely.
I'm just wondering, maybe, see, and here's the thing. I do think that, like, I am doing it wrong, because I can't fall asleep because I'm anxious, because I'm like, what if I don't wake up in time? And then in the past, when I have taken naps in the middle of the day, like, I'll try to take a nap before I know that I'm going to one of, you know, the aforementioned parties.
Yeah, they call it a disco nap.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm going to have to be up until 4 in the morning. But then I wake up and I'm just like, God damn, I don't want to go out. And I just, I never feel energized, and it's, yeah. I don't know. What? So do you do all the, like, the nap stereotypes and like the stereotypical benefits, do they apply to you? Do you feel refreshed and happy afterwards?
Well, yeah, I want to address that. But I also want to address what you're saying, which I think is really important. And there's two, because it's always two things with me. There's two really important things here. One is, you've got to talk about you talk about stereotypes. You talk about the stigma against sleeping in the middle of the day. Right. And you, like, when you're mm-hmm. describing, you're describing the nap room that nobody uses. For me, a similar thing is always that beer cooler at a .com that nobody ever dares open, because, like, it's just there to make you look cool. It's like the piano in the lobby. It's like, it's not really there for anybody to use. And I think that's true. I think, and I actually used to talk about this back when I was Merlin Mann, where you would talk about, like, how important it is, like, if you have a value as a company or as a manager, and it's not expressed in how you conduct yourself, like, you can't expect your employees to do that. So, like, people who would – I actually had this really, like, very angry conversation with this EVP who was like, I have told all of my people that they can take naps whenever they want. And I was like, well, when's the last time you took a nap? She's like, I can't take a nap. Like, I fucking work here. I'm important. I was like, well, there you go. Like, you went to Stanford. You're a fancy lady with a Marc Jacobs bag. Why would you take a nap? Well, the thing is, now all your employees see that. And I think there is a very real stigma. Even if you're like a dork who works at home, you feel lazy. You feel shiftless. You feel like, maybe, I don't know, maybe you feel like a drunk. Like, maybe you feel like this is not something that normal adults do. And I get that. So I think that's one of the biggest problems. But then the second part is, some people just, like you guys are saying, don't like naps. In particular, they don't like how hard it is to fall asleep because they're scared their phone's going to beep or their kid's going to be on fire. And they don't like the feeling of waking up. I mean, I very clearly remember, like, even as a teenager, if I did fall asleep at like 3 o'clock, I'd wake up and it's dark and I would panic. I'd be like, what? It's 7 o'clock. What? Like, I don't know. I don't understand. Like, what has happened? And I think people hate that feeling. And that, all of that stuff together, that is more than enough to admonish most people to not even attempt to do it. But getting into the habit and doing it is a practice. You've got to be okay with it. And then it is like meditation, in the sense that you will start recognizing patterns that you get more comfortable with when you're trying to take a nap. But, and then to finally, yes, it does help me a lot. I feel like $1 million after I sleep for an hour.
Another question then, do you nap in your office or just in your home?
I have. At times when I was doing lots of stuff at home or like when my family was at home, that's the other huge part of why I was only half successful with this challenge, was that it's just through my daughter and my wife were home for all of those 2 weeks. And there just weren't that many times when I could do that, you know, because my kid's going to come in and, you know, want to read me something out of Ripley's Believe It or Not. And like, I want to hear that. And of course, I'm terrified about notifications. We should come back to that. But yeah, I have slept in my office. I used to have a sleeping bag and a pillow here. And I would
Wow, you went full George Costanza?
Connie Selica, nothing wrong with that. That's a great episode. Yeah, no, I've totally done that. And, you know, and but like it's weird. Like you, like I know this sounds weird because you don't. Nobody knows what I'm talking about. But like if you've meditated or if you've done any kind of relaxation thing, you start to recognize certain things about yourself where you notice your thoughts drifting in certain directions and you go, oh, this is that thing that happens as one of the last things I remember, in my case, before I fall asleep. You know what I mean? Like, you might notice these patterns. And people who have things like anxiety and panic attacks start to notice these kinds of things, too, and then be able to regulate it. So, like, in my case, like, I notice myself nodding off. I notice some weirdly random sexual thought, which I almost never have, like, day to day. And I go, oh, it must be time for me to fall asleep. My brain is dumping its garbage bin and have given me these weird thoughts, these weird Maria Bamford thoughts. And then that means I'm falling asleep. And you start to recognize that and embrace it, and it's like a good thing.
Like, are you distinguishing then between falling like sleep, like nighttime sleep, or like you get the same thoughts before falling asleep at night and falling
no,
asleep before
it's usually nap? Usually a nap. But I mean, like, I have a specific position I like lay in that is the position I tend to remember falling asleep most often to. And I'll do that. And sometimes I'll say to my daughter, look, I'm just going to go. And I man up about it. I person up about it. And I say, look, I'm going to go try to sleep for an hour. So, you know, don't bug me unless it's something important, which is horrible to say. But that's what you've got to say. Most people are like, I'm just going to lay down for a minute or I'm going to rest my eyes. And it's like, well, yeah, you're just being embarrassed. Like, if you want to actually sleep, you have to go sleep like a person. I don't know. This is probably really boring to you guys. I'm glad you tried, though. I know this is difficult, but I'm very glad that you tried.
It's kind of fascinating. I consider you, I don't know why, Merlin, but I would consider you kind of a highly energetic, high strung, not necessarily high strung, but a person with a lot of energy. And
yeah,
like for you to be able to fall asleep and also wake up and resume your day and not feel like garbage, it makes me happy. And wow.
Well, I'm glad. I mean, here's one thing to learn. I don't know, like so many things, this could be a turns out. I don't know the exact science on this. But one thing I've been hearing for years that I suspect might be true. Well, what I first heard was from, this is from one of my psych teachers, cognitive psych teachers, was that everybody has, any healthy person anyway, has a certain pattern of how they sleep where you go through the different cycles. And mm-hmm. At the time, the conventional wisdom was that's about 90 minutes. Mm-hmm. Now, I think since then we've learned that that can differ from person to person, but you can discover like what your little cycle is. And, you know, and if your little cycle is that, like, I go through a full cycle of sleep in 90 minutes, 90 minutes is a good target time. If your cycle is 90 minutes and you're waking up 50 minutes in, oh my God, that's why you feel the way you feel, is because you're right in the middle of a spot where your body has finally relaxed enough to be able to go to sleep, get into, I don't know if it's exactly REM at that stage, but you're going into a stage that's very natural for your body and you're being ripped out of it. And that's why today you see all these apps and dinguses and devices that watch for when you stir. So like when you start moving around, that means you're coming out of a stage of sleep and that's a good time for you to wake up. As opposed to like when you're like, you know, dead like Trotsky and really, really out. That's disruptive. Then when you wake up in that, you get a notification. Somebody wants to talk to you. That's really jarring. But yeah, even a high energy person can do it if you practice.
You want
a
turns out about that?
What?
I got a great turns out for you.
Oh, give it to me.
Turns out everything you know is wrong. So we have
every last thing.
So we have these guys in the office who are sleep researchers, and they have a really interesting project. So they come out of Northwestern, and they are interested in doing sleep research, but only with one sort of goal, which is as it pertains to athletic performance. So they do sleep analytics and like feedback for college and professional sports teams. And this is becoming a big trend in if you're like an NFL team, because, you know, basically like the way an NFL team works is like essentially when you're like building your team, you're paying people, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars for like every point they get or something like that. And if you're,
oh, that's such an interesting way to look at it.
Yeah. So like, or a basketball team, right? Every basket you get, you're getting paid a certain number of hundreds of thousands of dollars just to get that point. And like, so if you're a professional NBA player at the top of your game, or, you know, college player at the top of your game, things like exercising regularly and having great nutrition, they give you like a 1% gain. That's why people are so crazy about it, is they're looking for a 1% gain. And it turns out that, like, because athletes have such a bad culture of sleep, like there's kind of a bravado of like showing up to practice without having slept, that by changing people's sleep habits into something that's like responsible, they're getting like 5, 10, 20% gains in sleep, like huge gains for these professional sports teams. And so one of the things they've looked at is like all these sleep devices on the market, they do this thing where they gently wake you up at the lightest part of your sleep cycle. So basically, like I have one of these I got on Kickstarter, and one of the things it does is it monitors your sleeping rhythm, and it, you can basically like authorize it to wake you up to a half hour early when you're at the end of your REM cycle. So when you you know, like you're saying, like you wake up and it's sort of this gentle, like you wake up and you feel refreshed. Here's what the sleep guys have found. They've found that actually, if you just sleep the extra 20 minutes, your performance will be enhanced in a measurable way, better than if you wake up and it feels good.
Turns out that's a really good turn.
Isn't that interesting?
I'd never heard that.
Isn't that interesting? So they're like,
it is. Can you if you are able to and comfortable with it, could you find a link to?
Well,
their stuff?
I don't know that they're sort of a startup, so they're not like publishing their research yet or anything.
They're a sleep research startup.
Yeah. So I'll ask them if they have any sort of like data or anything. But all they're doing is like, they're basically like measuring lots of athletes' sleep and then correlating it with their performance in games. And they find a higher correlation with athletic performance if the people sleep the extra 20 minutes than if they wake up and they at the most comfortable part of their sleep cycle. So their advice is basically put on a sleep mask and sleep every possible minute you can.
You know what else is really good? Thank you for that. That is a good turns out. I also I bought something. You know, sometimes you get a product and it's like, it's not like exactly good, but it is useful. This thing's not super well implemented, but I got this thing from the Amazon, and it's basically a little headband you wear that's got speakers in it.
Ooh.
I think it's called Sleep Acoustic, something like that. Sleep. It's called Acoustic Sheep is the company, and they make something called Sleep Phones. And it's this, you look kind of like a Bjorn Borg type. You get like a, that's an athlete. You get this little fuzzy fleece headband you put on, and it's got these two shitty little speakers in it that act as headphones. And it's got a dingus in the back that lets you control on, off, and volume. And it's Bluetooth headphones that you can wear while you sleep. And it's fucking great. They're not very well made. They're kind of like horribly implemented, but I'm loving these things.
I've been wearing my Siri balls when I go to sleep. I got my Siri balls, by the way.
I'm envious. I think I might want some someday.
Oh, God, they're so good.
I just ordered them, and they were supposed to show up in, like, I think Apple was giving me the ship date of February 2nd, and then they just showed up in the mail. So good for me.
All right, I'll go right now.
They're excellent. They work exactly how you imagine, and everyone reporting that they're, like, comfortable. They're, like, it's, like, I don't know, you just... This sounds like underwhelming praise, but it's actually one of the highest compliments I could like possibly give to a product. Is it works exactly how you imagine, and you don't really notice them. They just sort of become this incredibly convenient thing that works exactly how you want.
That's exactly what I like to hear in something like that.
They're like extremely reliable. They switch over to the device quickly. They don't run out of battery. You can walk really far away from your phone and they still work. Like it's so natural. You just pop them right in and go about your business. Veronica says I look like Chappie, the robot.
I saw that.
She goes, when I wear them to bed, she goes, are you wearing your Chappies?
Aw, that's sweet.
Yeah. So I go to sleep and I listen to philosophy lectures and I wear my Chappies. And I usually will like set a little timer. And when the timer goes off, I'll usually wake up and take out my Chappies.
Alex, I sent you that anxiety and sleep thing. That thing's been working great for me.
Wait, I want this. What is this?
It's this guy. This is so embarrassing to admit, but he does these hypnosis things on YouTube. Not like a creepy hypnotize a girl thing, but like these hypnosis things in about, especially for people with anxiety. And one of them is, it's basically to help you fall asleep, but it's also a hypnosis thing about anxiety. And I have found it really good and useful, and I listen to it on my sheep headphones.
Cool.
I want
Do you want me to put it in notes?
Yeah.
No, you can skip it.
All right.
What about hypnotizing ladies? I want that. seductionscience.com. This
well,
looks
Alex, you're
promising.
You're a big part of the seduction community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, this is horrible. Wow.
No, it's really bad. It's really bad. And then there's like there's sex fantasies.
It's the same guy. The same guy who hypnotizes anxious people to sleep tells you how to like confidently like con women into having
sex
with
you. That's
a good
point, because I had thought to myself, I have not listened to this all the way through while I'm awake, and I had a kind of Homer Simpson feeling like, am I actually going to increase my vocabulary or learn how to like grab a girl on the subway?
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Mm-hmm. Now, Merlin, when you talk about Hamilton, are you negging me? Is that a neg?
That's exactly what I'm doing with you. I made you notice me. Throw a drink in your face. Uh-huh. Your friend's cuter.
Now, one of the other things I've heard you have to do is you have to peacock. And when you peacock, this may not be real. This may just be something I saw in Parks and Rec. But when you peacock, you wear like a crazy hat so that people notice you.
Oh, no, that's totally real.
That's real?
What?
Oh, absolutely.
Doesn't Tom do that on Parks and Rec?
Mm. That's right. I got to find out what it puts in his hair. Yeah, and it's like that guy with the rings. Yeah, with the rings and the big fuzzy hat from TV. Same thing. That guy, what's his name? Mystery?
David Blaine?
Is that his name? No. Look inside your panties.
Oh my God! That's my card!
It's got my number on it. What else?
You went to an all-girls school. Did you have a prom?
I did not go to an all-girls.
It was not an all-girls school.
Oh, okay. No, it was just a Catholic school.
Oh, just a Catholic school.
And I was the one that was like, oh, guys, wouldn't it be super fun if we all just went as friends together and we didn't find dates? And it worked out really well for me. I got to... Anyway.
That's a great strategy. Shit, I wish I thought of that.
No, that's totally a thing. People didn't do that at your school?
No.
Oh yeah.
No, you still had to find a date or you were a loser. Which
well,
I did, by the way.
I
just want to establish for all of our listeners, I did have a date to prom.
Oh, nice.
Good.
Up here.
Good. Good. Good.
You guys.
So.
How did you ask them to prom?
I think over like AOL Instant Messenger. Yeah, I think so.
Oh,
we were friends. She was more of a friend date. I think she actually wound up going home with someone else who went to the prom. It's like a sports guy, maybe, or something.
Merlin, was it a thing at your school to do ask people to dances in extravagant ways?
Well, it's funny you should say that, because literally this week, like maybe yesterday, my wife introduced to me the concept of the promposal, which I'd never heard of before. Have you heard of this?
I mean, I've never heard it said that way, but oh yeah.
Oh my God, it's so much pressure. It's
mm-hmm.
nuts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ugh. Yeah, so was that big in your school?
Oh, God, yeah. Balloons and then it became, like, so big that people would have to find, like, other stunts and other ways to, like, ask people, because you can't just, you know, write it on someone's car. Now you need to, like, make a puzzle or do secret notes, and if you're too dumb like me and you don't notice that somebody has asked you to a dance, it's very embarrassing, and you make the boy feel very bad. Yeah.
Can I say one more thing that I did? I have a new one more Mac follow up that I'm
yeah.
That's a big one for me. So over the Cards Retreat, I downloaded the app Bear, which also is the recipient of a very prestigious upgrade. And Bear rules. It's actually the app that I've been every so often I like post on Twitter and I'm like, is there like just a goddamn text editor that has tags in it? And everyone's like, oh, you should use the Evernote family of products. It's more of a lifestyle. I hate Evernote. I use Evernote extremely begrudgingly because it has tags. And I organize, for complicated reasons, I have all these projects that are basically like 200 text files with tags in them in Evernote. And oh my God, Bear is so fucking good.
Mm-hmm.
It rules. It's so good. It does markdown. It's formatted really beautifully. You have interconnected tags. You can have tag hierarchies. If there's anyone listening to this podcast and you have like a text file based lifestyle like I do, just get bare. Stop using whatever nonsense you're using and get bare. It's so good.
I'm making a little bit of an Alex noise.
Merle's making an Alex noise. All right.
I thought that was the chimney sweets smoking their bong. I can't tell anymore.
Okay. So we're gonna then let's break a little bit from our format and some. How Max is making this noise.
That's pretty good.
Hold on. I need to get another energy drink.
What is that?
I didn't have breakfast this morning.
They're like increasing in severity of color. They're like turning more and more into colors that are things that human beings shouldn't eat.
So right now I'm having the Monster Energy Ultra Red, which tastes like literally it like Kool-Aid with
I don't
some
understand
sort of
why you have
chemical.
Trouble sleeping. This is so strange. I can't quite diagnose or unpack why you would have resistance to sleeping. This is so odd. Anyway, go ahead. So it's red, this is the Monster drink?
Yeah. But
is it a normal size can, Alex, or is it one of those jokey millennial size cans?
It is between the two. It's like a reasonable millennial size can.
That's as long as you're, you know, please drink responsibly.
Yeah. I remember the day people started, remember 4 Loko? Yeah, it is not that size can. But now I have a Monster Energy Iced Tea, so there's a little bit less caffeine, I think. Nope, just as much. Never mind. Okay.
Can I try this?
Yeah, go for it.
Do you mind?
I've actually never had this, so I'm interested. The reason why I like energy drinks is because...
It smells like... I don't know how to describe this except have you ever found yourself in like a kind of a trashy like cruise ship or resort situation where all the cocktails cost like $17 and there's lots of like fruit floating
in
them?
Sure, yeah.
That's what it smells like to me.
I think they smell like a bull with a urinary tract infection.
Sweet.
It goes in and really, really, really just wastes the bathroom with a really long whiz and they groan a little bit. That's what those things said. That and Mountain Dew is what they smell
so
like.
So many good things are happening right now.
That is the sweetest thing I have ever tasted in my I feel like a hummingbird. Huh. I'm like sucking this up through my proboscis.
La la la.
This doesn't just have caffeine too. This also has all the taurine and all
the taurine?
Other stuff.
You got taurine in that?
Ginseng extract.
Yeah, so
L-carnitine.
The one that I was just drinking has it's like the calorie free. It's what else is
holy
in there?
Shit, Alex, this has so much taurine in it. This is like the entire like adrenal system of an adult bull.
I'm sad. Who took my adrenals?
I didn't want to make Merlin feel.
I hope she's doing good work because I could really use my adrenal system. Hi, I'm Merlin Mann. Did you know that every year thousands of bulls lose their adrenal system to people who work for companies in Chicago? When I see people with those fucking drinks, I'm just like, boy, what are you doing with that energy? What are you making? Now, in your case, I understand you're planning parties, you're eating paper, you're not buying an iPhone. I mean, you're finding a way to really channel that to kind of like level your resources and get it into the fun tunnel.
I actually could not sleep last night because I felt so guilty about not being able to nap, so I'm a little sleepy this morning.
Are you kidding? Oh no, that wasn't the idea.
Everything is working exactly as intended.
This is all going so well.
Am I going to have to drink one of these? Is that the challenge?
First, Merlin, I would like to know why you don't like bear.
Oh, it's cute.
It's very cute.
What do you have like, are you like Mike Hurley? You have like 1,000 note apps?
Oh, no, Hurley's a bear guy.
Reminder. I know. No, you don't care. You know, I'm not here to amuse you.
I know I do care. Tell
I'm
me
an
why.
Adult. I'm a grown
why shouldn't
man.
I be?
I know when I need to make water, Miss Daisy.
One of the best things about being on the internet is that I don't want to find out that I like the wrong things.
I like you angry and incurious. It's a great combination. Because first you get mad, and then when somebody tries to tell you, you get even madder.
No, I'm genuinely like curious why you don't like it.
I just downloaded it for the desktop. It's, you know, it's okay. It's an interesting kind of Frankenstein idea. I'm intrigued by the idea proposed by, I want to say, Fraser Spears, that you could actually kind of make your own little personal wiki with this, mm-hmm. since it does internal linking. The tags idea is interesting to me, but I get everything I need out of editorial, mostly. I'm real happy with editorial, and I don't need this pseudo WYSIWYG approach to doing Markdown. I mean, to me, that would be like putting a GUI on Emacs. It kind of would defeat the purpose.
So you have like Markdown vision. You're like Neo. You can like see the Matrix. You look at you don't even.
Well, also I use very 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 basic stuff. I mean, back in the times when I was doing more writing with links, it was a bigger deal. I could really see that being useful with this. But no, most of what I do. I mean, this is a very clever app, and I'll spend some time with it because a lot of people like it. But no, for most of what I do, it's H's. Basically, H's and asterisks is most of what I do. You know, just nested lists and headings and a little bit of, you know, bold and italic. That's most of what I use. There's some multi-markdown stuff I do. I use some really obscure multi-markdown stuff that nobody but me uses. Like, I do tables, which some people do, but I also do glossaries, which almost nobody does.
Good Lord, you do markdown tables?
I didn't.
Huh? You're history's greatest monster.
My markdown tables fucking rule. You should see my sous vide table. You want me to send it to you?
Absolutely.
Every time I do a new sous vide recipe that I'm not positive of, I track the results in a new line.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. That's actually a very good use of a note.
I could do it in Google Docs, but it's real fast and easy.
Actually, I think Evernote actually makes a companion app for sous vide results that you can download and integrate with the rest of the Evernote family of products.
Yeah, you flip back the cover. It's $17 a month. You flip back the cover, and it's got a picture of a sous vide dingus.
Mm-hmm.
And then you log into that. You can get the novice account. You can get the pro account. You can get the super user account. Mm-hmm. You can get the admin super user. You get the executive admin super. Now, those are all different by 75 cents a month, except for a couple, and I'm not going to tell you which. When you get to that right level, you will get sous vide syncing, which means now when you pull the cover of your iPad back a second time, that does what's called a push. It's going to push that into the cloud. Now, you can have that cloud push working on 1 to 3 devices, provided that you have the executive admin pro account. If you have the pro admin exec account, it's not going to happen. It's going to seem to push unless you fold your iPad back a third time. Now, that's going to do what's called a pull, okay? And that's going to use basically it's rsync combined with a GitHub. You get a GitHub, and that pushes it in, but it doesn't really do anything because you've got the wrong account. And you're not sure why.
The only downside is now the Evernote employees get to taste your food after you sous vide it. I think when we're done recording, you and I are going to have to go. I think we're going to have to go fly my drone and look down on the roof and see what little children are rolling their golf balls across the roof up there.
Is this one of those things like that home near Canada? Is this something where you're there for a while, you don't hear it, then you can't not hear it, and it's like it just drives you crazy?
That's the thing. I'm in here so often that I have just
Is this been going on for a long time?
This always, yeah.
What?
Oh, yeah.
I've never heard this before.
What? Really?
Yes.
Yeah. It just happens sometimes. It also smells like sewer in here sometimes.
Well, that I know what that is. That's the sewer.
Well...
That's how you know it's working.
Yeah, no, that's a feature, not a bug. No, but listen, I think we take the drone.
Okay,
I think we take the drone and we buzz the kids just real close, and that ought to scare them off the roof. We're gonna fire a warning shot across the bow.
Merlin, did you see Max's video of his new drone toy?
No,
it's actually really cool.
I'll watch it. So show him my markdown file I just sent you.
How are you sending this stuff back and forth to each other? Why aren't I included?
Oh, my God. We only wake you for the important meetings. Yeah, I would love to see that. I enjoy videos. Didn't like Interstellar. Boy, it made me mad.
Oh,
I talked about it with Syracuse last night. I just like it was so many parts of it were so good, and so much of it made me so fucking angry.
Well, but
one of my favorite movies.
It,
I love that movie.
It's so good, and like
because parts of it are perfect.
So
like
just turn your brain off.
Two thirds of that movie is perfect.
What were the parts you didn't like? What were the parts you didn't like?
I'm gonna forget that the 3D 5D world exists. I'm gonna forget that like it was incredibly obvious from the first scene that Matthew McConaughey was the ghost in the books. I'm gonna completely forget that, hey, it turned out fine and they live in a world where there's crops in circles. Fuck it, A. He should have died so goddamn hard. That was such a good movie. And then they it's a good movie. Good movie in parts, but terrible. Terrible. So that's my file. You can see that, Max. You can see it on your phone.
Did you get the part where books are a time machine?
Oh, is that related to the concept of love being the most powerful force in the universe?
A little bit. Books, it's a movie.
Max, why don't people just read books anymore?
I honestly couldn't tell you, but I fucking love that movie. I think it's very smart, and people don't like think hard enough about it, and they take it too literally.
You should check out Hamilton. Hang on. I'm sorry. I really have to pee. I do want to hear this.
Thank you, Merlin.
Wow, you guys.
Is that okay?
Wow. All right.
We're on the same.
I mean, I got a bucket here, but I could act.
All right,
like
I'll
I'm,
just hang out alone and entertain our readers.
I'm gonna urinate and I'll be back.
All right, we'll play a selection, a medley from the hit musical Hamilton.
Dun 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 dun. Dun.
I'm the only one not peeing.
Is Merlin not back?
No, he stayed and made jokes while you were peeing.
Oh, no.
You want to hear my Hamilton rap?
Yes,
my
please.
My name is Hamilton, I'm here to say. I wrote the Constitution of the USA. I should get a MacArthur Genius Grant.
Really? They keep... It feels like there are more geniuses every year.
Yeah, anyone can get onto that shit now.
I mean, anybody, I hear that they have that 30 under 30 list now that people...
Moving on, what's your challenge?
No.
Were you on that, Max?
No.
Because I can't look at Forbes. Forbes won't let me look at their site. They say, boo, ad trackers. I can't work.
Well, if you have your ad tracker on, you're going to miss the Forbes thought of the day.
Yeah.
And that's a big part of the day. I mean, every morning you spring out of bed and you're like, ooh, it's a new
ooh,
Forbes thought
it?
Of the
it
day.
It takes a heap of living to make a house a home. Yay, Forbes.
All right, Alex, what's your challenge?
Apparently, Max is on the 30 under 30 list, but I haven't actually seen it.
That's
I
not
can't
a fair
open.
Challenge for you guys because Merlin can't make the list. Moving on.
No, I could. Maybe I could be in the like 200 under 200.
I think they may have a geriatric version.
Yeah, but the contest closes at 4 because everybody went to dinner.
Forbes early bird.
Right? Being old is funny. Being dead is better.
I can't wait until I turn 30. This week, I would really, really, really like you to try to have only one screen on your iPhone. And I will accept two.
What? That is so weird.
Why?
That is so...
Why?
It's sort of like saying whatever size your house is, I want you to have one room in your house.
Yeah.
Can you say this again? I'm not sure I'm following.
I want your iPhone, you can have many screens. I want there to just be one or two of those and not however many Merlin has.
Where do you put the rest of your stuff?
In the folders. You just
folders?
Put in the folders.
Fuck's sake.
Okay, here we go. Stuff, 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 stuff.
When
stuff,
did
stuff.
When did the iPhone come out?
2007.
Okay, so I'm coming. It's been now 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
I've had all my icons the same way for 10 years. Mm-hmm. I know I could close my eyes and open any app on my phone, and you're telling me I need to have it a different way?
No,
that's what it sounds like.
It seems,
yeah.
So how many pages do you have on your phone?
So yes. I have my first page. These are the core functions of the phone, so things like text messaging, the phone, my contacts, the clock, the camera, the things where it's like, this is what the phone does. Then I've got my work applications, like things where, like, in a pinch, I can, like, go to this page and do some work function on my phone, like open a spreadsheet or whatever. Then I've got games, and then I've got all the bullshit that Apple won't let me delete.
All right, there are so many things wrong with this. First of all, you couldn't even have pages until the second iPhone because there were no apps, and now you can delete.
But I still have
everything.
My home screen on the first page. I have all the apps in the same order that they shipped on the original iPhone.
then that's fine. Then you have an easy week. But Merlin has
no how though, because all my apps don't fit on one screen.
But you have three. So
I have four.
Get it down to two. You can fail.
All right.
All right. Then I'll.
No,
I'm
gonna do it. I'll do it. I will rise to the challenge.
You will also, in the show notes, we will be sharing our home screens for both for both our phones and our iPads.
Can I also get like 250,000 fewer followers? Jesus Christ,
sir. Questions.
Think about how excited everyone's gonna be, Merlin.
I'm too busy to take a nap. I'm drinking Five Loko. It's hard. I'm young and I don't make the big naps.
Go change everything about your computer world and then to show everybody. No big. Lol.
Fucking millenniums. All right, I'll do it. I'm going to be making a lot of stuff folders.
That's fine. That's the you do you, Merlin. It's going to be okay.
Yeah. No, I'm not going to do me. People should stop doing themselves. They should be almost anything other than themselves. It's just what a horrible piece of advice that is. Ugh.
Alex, turn my gain up a whole bunch. I'm going to point the microphone up and see if we can hear the children playing with the golf ball.
What?
Can you hear that?
Are you kidding? Are you guys making that noise?
No, I'm telling you, that is the orphans, and they're rolling their marbles. They're racing marbles on the goddamn roof.
Are you on the top floor of the building?
Well,
we own the building.
Yeah, it's our building. What do you mean? It's like
I don't know fuck all about where you are. So that is actually the roof above.
Yeah.
You. At first, it sounded like a creaking, but then it sounded like golf balls falling off a footstool.
Here's what I think it is. It's I think there might be like a raccoon who got like an acorn or a walnut and he's working it with his little hands, but he's got no grip, you know?
Oh, his little claws. That's so cute. He just wants that acorn so much.
He's just trying to get into the walnut. And do you know what I mean? And he's kind of walking around on his back feet, and he's got his front feet on the walnut, and he's pushing this thing all over the roof.
Precious angel.
We can't have that. I got to get the drone up there and scare him away.
You know, the only thing that would make this Tableau X better if you were sitting in a what's called a video game chair while you were looking at it. I'm fascinated by the idea of the video game chair. I see it sometimes on TV, and I'm like, you have a chair for video games. No matter what happens to you for the rest of your life, it's the fault of somebody buying you a
here's
video
my,
game
here,
chair.
So the only thing that makes me think about this image of the video game chair every time is when conservatives talk about Benghazi and they're like how she did Benghazi. I think in their imagination, how I always picture her is she's in like a pro gamer rig and she's got like a headset in and she's sitting in the gamer chair and she's like, now take off the ambassador. Go, go, go.
Tell security they can go.
Execute order 66.
I think in their fantasy, that's how it went down. All right, Alex, get your raccoon gloves. We got to get up on the roof.
Oh, he just wants that acorn.
Enjoy your week, Merlin.
Yeah, you know what? Fuck you. I think that's the first time I've ever said that. I'm going to just say fuck you. This is brutal.